everybody kind of has that subdued look to them today, except Randy. You know, I was thinking the last couple of days, I don't know why, I've been thinking about my pastor's pastor, Moses Vey. Moses Vey passed away at January a year ago, so just over a year ago, which doesn't seem like it was that long ago. But one of the things I remember about Pastor Vey taught me so many things. He's one of those guys that I was telling Jeremy just this week. Pastor Vey, he's given messages in the past, messages that I can think of a message that he gave about 10, probably actually about 12 years ago. And if I had to, I could remove this message that I've prepared for you today. I could give his message point by point because I remember it that well. I mean, it's just the power of the Word of God through that man. And I loved it when you would see Moses because Moses lived in California, so we only got to see him a couple of times a year. But anytime that you would see Moses, he'd be up in the front of the church, wherever that church was. Anytime you'd see him, you'd walk in, and you'd always be amazed because there was one time that Don and I, he had no idea we were going to be there. We were in Akron, Ohio at a church, and he had no idea we were coming. It was a big church. And somehow out of all those people, Moses saw me, and he came over to me. And this is what Moses would do. Moses, I'm like 5'7". Moses, he was 82 when he passed away, so you know he already had some shrinkage. But he was still like 6'2 or 6'3. He was just a big man. And he was a big man. He wasn't heavy, but he was just a big, thick, solid man. And when Moses would see you, he would just get this big. He would do this. He would just walk towards you, and he'd open up his arms as an invitation for you to just come. And as you would come, he would just wrap his arms around you. And it was like you were enfolded, especially when you're 5'7", you know, and not of a big build. You're enfolded in that hug of Moses. It doesn't matter how many people are there. He would, every time, he'd whisper something in your ear. He would say something that was personal from either he or that the Holy Spirit had said that was just for you. And you would just feel yourself. You would just close your eyes. You know, my head would be like on his chest. But that's the way that I see that it is with God the Father. Every time I think about those hugs that I would get from Moses, that's the way I see that the Father, that's the way I see that Jesus is for us. He's got those arms anytime. Look, I don't know what you're feeling today. I don't know what's going on in your life. But this is Jesus. He always has those arms open wide, extended. And you know, Moses would always take a few steps towards me, which is saying that I'm coming to you, but he would leave the rest of the path to me. I had to come to him. And I would come to those open arms, and as soon as I was there, he would just enfold those arms around me. And you felt like there was no one else in the room. You felt like all he cared about at that moment was you. And that's the way it is for you today with Jesus. So whatever you're going through today, when you leave this place today, whatever's on your mind, just picture Jesus is there. He knows your problems. He's already seen your problems. He's already taken care of your problems. He just wants to give you that hug that he can enfold around you. He can whisper that word that is personal to you into your ear. And there's nothing that feels better. Every time that that would happen, and then I'd go sit down amongst all the other people, boy, you just felt special the whole rest of the time. So that's what Moses did, and that was a great image for me of what Jesus is for us every day of our lives. So picture that bear hug of Jesus today in your life. That's not the message for today. All right, so last week, you guys ready for this? You don't seem very ready at all. This is the Word of God. You know, we've spent 2 weeks looking at just an awesome Word of God. You know, when Jesus has been revealing this to me, this is not something that I planned on. In fact, last week, I don't know if you guys noticed, there was a guy sitting right over where Andy and Deborah are sitting. And it's a guy that's been a friend of mine for like 25 years. He used to live in Lima, and I would see him once in a while, but he moved up to Toledo, and we see each other. Like almost every week, we spend time together. And he's really strong in his church. He's got a pretty big role in his church. So I was surprised to see him here last Sunday. And it was so funny because as he was sitting there and I started to give the message, I thought to myself, his name's Jeff Milslegel. I thought to myself, Jeff and I just had a conversation. He was telling me some things about John chapter 21 with Jesus and Peter. He was telling me some stuff about that, some things that God had showed him like just 3 weeks before that. And I thought, he's probably going to think that I'm just taking what he had said and giving it today, but it was a whole bunch of different things. But everything, the reason I say that is everything that Jesus has shown me in these 3 weeks, every week he showed me something different. I had no idea. When I told you guys last week that we're going to come, we're going to conclude, I had no idea how we're going to conclude it. I didn't know how we're going to conclude it. Most of the time when I tell you we're going to conclude next week, I have no idea where we're going to go. But I know the Holy Spirit has something good that is going to reveal to us and show to us. This is a word that I have loved giving. We're going to wrap it up today. But be excited in your hearts. Be excited and be ready to receive all the word that he has today. Because this is a message that's for you and I that we need to remember as we go through our day and as we go through our week, as we go through our lives. Because as the Holy Spirit spoke through Diane, he does have a plan for our lives, plans for each one of us. So last week we were looking specifically at that exchange between Jesus and Peter in John chapter 21. And that's where Jesus asked Peter those three times, Peter, do you love me? And three times we saw that response that Peter gave, affirming that love. We also saw last week that there's different words in the Greek for love that are used in that text. In one of those definitions, one of those words for love describes a love that is faithful, a love that prefers to live through Jesus Christ. A love that embraces the will of God. And we saw that the other love is a love that is an affection. But that's not a lesser love as we would think of it in our vernaculars, we'd use the word affection. It is the love of Jesus Christ. It's a love that manifests itself through acts and tokens of that affection. So with that understanding, we get a clearer picture of what's taking place in that exchange between Jesus and Peter. Because what Jesus is saying to Peter is, Peter, do you love me with that love that is faithful? That's an area where Peter had some problems. With a love that prefers me, that prefers to live through me. Again, that's an area that Jesus had a problem in when we see that he denied Jesus those three times. Jesus is asking Peter, Peter, do you have a love for me that embraces the will of God? And then the third time that he asks Jesus, do you love me? He asks Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me with that kind of a love that is an affection? That kind of a love that acts or manifests in acts of love, even to the point of laying down your life, yielding your life for me. And Peter responds, all three times, Peter responds and says, Lord, you know that I love you with that love that is ready to be manifested in acts and tokens of my love for you, Jesus. You see, Jesus was able to look at Peter, and Jesus saw in Peter the rock that he would become. Even when Peter couldn't see that, even when Peter failed Jesus, Jesus still saw in Peter what Peter could become through Jesus Christ. And as we talked about last week, every single one of us has failed Jesus Christ, has failed him in multiple ways, and we tend to disqualify ourselves. But Jesus still sees in you what you often don't see yourself. Jesus sees you, what you can be in and through Jesus Christ. So let's look at those verses. This is John chapter 21. We're just going to read verses 15 through 17 today. John 21, 15 through 17. So when they'd eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he asked him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. After every question that Jesus asked, and after every answer that Peter gave, Jesus instructs Peter for the call to feed my sheep. If we respond to the call of Jesus Christ as Peter did, if we respond with that phileo kind of love that has action, that love that demonstrates itself, if we have that kind of a love, then we will lay our lives down for Jesus. How is it that we lay our lives down for Jesus? Well, a part of it is We lay our lives down for Jesus by feeding his sheep. We lay our lives down by serving him, by being what he's called us to be. This is part of how it is that we serve Jesus. Now, it's easy for us to think to ourselves that it's the responsibility of the shepherds of the body of Christ today. It's the responsibility of the shepherds of the body today to feed the sheep. I'm just a sheep. I'm here to be fed. I mean, it's easy for us to think that way as we go to church every Sunday. I'm just a sheep. I'm here to be fed. But Jesus wants each one of us to have that same kind of phileo love that Peter had. Jesus wants each one of us to have that love that says, Lord, I am ready to serve you. I'm ready to demonstrate a love that is going to sacrifice for you. That's ready to have acts and demonstrations of love for you. This is what Jesus expects. This is what he wants for each one of us. That's the love. And you know what? He gives us the power to act out of that love. He gives us the power. If I'm willing, that's all I have to be, is willing. If I'm willing, he will make it a joy and a pleasure for me to be in the Word. It's a joy. It's a pleasure. If I'm willing, I don't have to look for opportunities to serve. He will bring those opportunities to me. He will bring sheep. That doesn't mean you have to pastor them, but it means that you are called to shepherd them. There are people in your lives, sheep in your lives, that he brings to your life, that he has prepared you to invest in them, to feed them, to give them the Word, even to lead them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is the expectation that he has for us. Now, let me take you back to Ezekiel chapter 34. Everybody still with me? We still awake? We need to move around a little bit. All right, in Ezekiel chapter 34, the Lord is giving a word through his prophet Ezekiel. And in that word, he says, woe to the spiritual shepherds of my people. The very ones that God had called to be the spiritual shepherd over his people, to tend his flock, had failed him. This is in Ezekiel. Those very shepherds that he called to tend to his flock were using his people, were using his sheep for their own gain. The shepherds, the spiritual shepherds of his flock, they weren't ministering to the sheep in their sickness. They weren't ministering to the sheep in their weaknesses. They weren't going out after the sheep who had gone astray. God's people, God's sheep, were wandering over hills and mountains. They were scattered over all of the earth with no one to search for them. But in Ezekiel chapter 34, God says that I will rescue my flock. I will rescue my flock. Because he had entrusted the shepherd, his sheep, into his shepherds. He'd entrusted his flock to his shepherds, and they had failed him. Now this ties into you and I because he wants us to be the shepherds, but we're the shepherds through Jesus Christ. God himself said in Ezekiel 34, I will rescue my flock. I will. Let's look at that from Ezekiel chapter 34, verse number 23. I'm going to show you this in the Amplified Bible. Ezekiel 34, 23. And I will raise up over them one shepherd, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them. And he shall be their shepherd. God has provided the shepherd for us. The good shepherd, Jesus Christ. Jesus who feeds us, cares for us. In the fullness of all the promises of his word, he feeds us and cares for us. In the fullness of all of that. In the power and the authority of his name, we can possess every good thing that he's prepared for us. Because Jesus is the good shepherd. This is what he has prepared for us. Now, let's go down two verses. Ezekiel 34, but let's read chapter 20, or verse 25. And I will confirm with them, I don't have to give you much time, you should be right there. I will confirm with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land. And my people shall dwell safely in the wilderness, the desert or pasture land, and sleep confidently in their woods. Two verses before this, we see that God is saying, I will raise up a shepherd over my people. He's talking about Jesus Christ. Now in this verse, just two verses later, in this verse, now he's bringing up the promise that he will establish the covenant through Jesus Christ. So he promises us the shepherd. Remember, God's the one who said, my shepherds have failed in feeding my flock. So I will rescue my people. How does he do that? By the shepherd he's provided for us, Jesus Christ. So he promised us the shepherd, and now here he's promising us the covenant that comes through Jesus Christ. We have the shepherd, and we have the covenant that comes with him. Now we see that we know that covenant's already established, but we see that. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to look at verses 20 and 21. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. And when we read this, think of this in context as the fulfillment of what God had said he was doing through Jesus, the shepherd. Through Jesus, the shepherd of whom we have a covenant with. So Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. This is exactly what God was talking about. So then it goes on to verse number 21, as we've heard about the great shepherd and the covenant. In verse number 21, it says, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever. As promised, God provided the sheep. God provided the shepherd. God took care of his sheep through Jesus Christ. As promised, he provided the shepherd, took care of his sheep. As promised, God provided the covenant of peace through the blood covenant of Jesus Christ. He provided those things. But then as you read those verses in Hebrews chapter 13, what is it then that the good shepherd, Jesus Christ himself, instructs? God said that I will provide the shepherd. God said I'll provide the covenant. He did those things. And then once he did in those verses, not just in those verses, but also in John chapter 21, as we're seeing this exchange between Jesus and Peter, what does the good shepherd instruct us to do? He tells us to feed his sheep. We are the ones that are to feed his sheep. He has a plan for each one of us. Every day he's got a plan. And he's got sheep that he's surrounded us with. His instructions are for us to feed his sheep. We are to shepherd the ones, the sheep, that God has entrusted to us. And you might say to yourself, I'm not a pastor. I'm not asking to be a pastor. But you're a shepherd. Because there are people in your life that Jesus is bringing into your life. Young or old. You might have a lot, you might have a few. Whatever it is that God, whatever sheep God has brought to you, you're going to find that the more you shepherd those sheep, the more you learn, the more you grow, the more you see the outpouring of his goodness, his faithfulness in your life. Have you ever struggled with understanding the Word of God? Here's the best way to understand the Word of God. Teach it to somebody else. And you might say, well, how can I teach it if I don't know it? You start teaching it. You will know it. You will understand it. When you have to start explaining what you do know in the Word of God to somebody else, you just start saying it in a way that you can teach it. It just makes it become clarified in your mind. I know it doesn't make sense, but I promise you it happens. Every single time it happens. If you want to better understand the Word of God, teach someone else. I assure you, Jesus has sheep. He has little ones around you that he's called you to shepherd, that he's called you to invest in their lives as well. Now, the word shepherd that we saw in Ezekiel 34, the word shepherd in the Hebrew means, in part, this. It means to tend to the flock. So that ties in, shepherd. We are supposed to tend to the flock, tend to the ones that God has entrusted, that Jesus has brought into your life. But it also means this. It means to associate with as a friend. God has brought people, sheep, into your life. In the same way that God, part of Jesus' love for you, part of his love is expressed through friendship. We've talked about that last couple of weeks. Part of his love is through friendship. That's part of the way that Jesus expresses his love to us. He has given you sheep There are sheep that are surrounding you, sheep that he wants you to attend to associate with as a close friend. He wants you to lead those sheep that are around you. He wants you to lead those sheep to the fields of pasture that he's provided for them. But you know what? Sometimes they don't know how to get there. You do. Whatever experience, I don't care if you were just saved a month ago, if you spent any time in the Word, if you've got one verse that you know and understand, you can feed somebody else. Whatever your life experiences are, no matter how long you've been in the body of Christ, you've got sheep in your life that you can feed, that he's expecting us to feed. For he wants us to lead them to the pastures, the fields that he has for them. Feed my sheep. True phileo love for Jesus, as we saw last week. True phileo love always produces action. It produces service for the sheep. So what does that look like in our lives? Well, the best way for us to learn how to feed the sheep is by looking at David. David, the shepherd king. David, who's the one that we just saw in that verse in Ezekiel chapter 34. David is the one who is identified as in the line, in the lineage that leads to the good shepherd. Who better to learn from on how to feed the sheep than David, the shepherd king. King, but still shepherd. Learn those things from David. So if we look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, and go there because we'll look at some of those verses in a few minutes. But in 1 Samuel chapter 16, that's the chapter where we see that David is anointed as the king of Israel by Samuel, the prophet of God. But remember, there's already a king of Israel, Saul. But Saul is a troubled king because Saul has a heart that is not in obedience to the things of God. Saul has a distressing spirit. That spirit is calmed by skillful playing of the harp. So Saul is told that David, the son of Jesse, is a skilled harp player and a man of valor. So Saul sends for David. And we see that in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 19 through 23. Therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who's with the sheep." And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, a young goat, and he sent them by way of his son David to Saul. You know, we could stop right there, and just that verse, I don't even have time to even look at that verse. That verse right there, sometime we'll look at it, it's filled with so much. It's amazing. Go read that verse on your own time. Let the Holy Spirit show you what's in there. So David came to Saul, and he stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Then Saul said to Jesse, sent to Jesse, saying, "Please, let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight." And so it was, whenever the Spirit of God was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play it in his hand, and then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. David is anointed as the king, but David remains as a shepherd. Jesse, his father, has the king working in the lowly sheep fields with his sheep. You would think that if your son is anointed as the next king of Israel, you're going to elevate that son, set him above all of your other sons. Jesse didn't. David didn't place himself there. David is the anointed king, but he remains a shepherd. He remains serving. He remains that shepherd serving. Remember that Peter. See, Jesse didn't set David above his sons. But remember, Peter placed himself. As we go back to the whole verses we're talking about, Peter placed himself above all the other disciples. He said that should any of the other disciples stumble, should they stumble, he would never be made to stumble because of Jesus Christ. He clearly stumbled. This is a contrast between Peter and the humble heart of David, the anointed king who serves the Lord in humility, who serves him by tending his father's sheep in the sheep field. Humble heart and humble love allows us to be able to feed his sheep, to tend to his sheep. Now, you and I, We are a part of the royal family because of Jesus Christ. You are a part of the royal family. As David was king, you are a part of the royal family. We spend a lot of time in the Word of God learning how to receive all the promises of Jesus Christ, all the promises He's established for us, and we should, because these are all His promises. His promises established for us. We should be learning to receive those things. I will always teach you how to receive the promises that you have in Jesus Christ, because you're part of the royal family and because Jesus paid a high price that you could have those promises in your life. I will always teach you those things. But we err if we don't also learn the other aspect of our walk with Him. And that is in the service. It's in serving Him. We are kings in Him, but we are also shepherds. We walk in the abundance and the fullness of everything that word promises, which we haven't even realized yet. And yet we remain humbly in those lowly sheep fields. Let His sheep be your priority, not self. That's the mistake we make too many times in the body of Christ. So again, all those promises are for us. I will always teach you those things, but we need to also learn about that other aspect, the service, how we serve Him. We are kings, but we are also shepherds. Now, we can easily understand, it's easy for us to understand being on the feeding side of that shepherd-sheep relationship. We understand being on that receiving, that eating, that feeding side of it. But clearly, Jesus is calling us to feed His sheep. So what does that look like? How do we see ourselves as a shepherd tending to other sheep? How do we see ourselves in that? Well, again, to see that, we go back to David, the shepherd king. Because if we look, and we'll look at those verses again, if we look at those verses in 1 Samuel chapter 16, we see in those verses how the Lord God Himself intends for us to serve Him as we feed His sheep. This is how it's done. Let's look at that again. 1 Samuel 16, verses 19 through 23. Therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son who is with the sheep." And Jesse sent a donkey loaded with bread, a skin of wine, a young goat, and sent them to sent by his son David to Saul. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly. And he became his armor bearer. So we see the shepherd, we see the armor bearer. Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, "Please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight." And it was whenever the Spirit of God was upon Saul that David would take up the harp and play it with his hand, then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. David served the Lord as the shepherd king. But he served the Lord as the shepherd king in three arenas. He was the shepherd of the sheep. He was the shepherd of the sheep. That means he had that shepherd's staff. He was the musician. He was called upon to play the harp. And he was the armor bearer to the king. So he was trained. He was being trained in war and in warfare. When God calls us, in His agape and phileo love, when God calls us and we answer His call with that phileo love, that same love that Peter had, when we answer with that same love that says, "I'm ready to serve you. I am ready to have acts, tokens, demonstrations manifesting my love by serving your sheep." When we do that, we have a threefold ministry with Jesus, threefold ministry that we're expected to have. Like David, we're a shepherd. We lead and we feed the sheep that are around us. We lead them and we carry that staff of the shepherd with us, which is the authority that we have in the name of Jesus Christ. We are musicians. This gets back to what we were talking about earlier, praise and worship. is such a huge part of becoming what Jesus plans for you to be. Praise and worship is such an important part in us becoming and fulfilling what Jesus intends for us to be. And we are to be the armor bearer to the King. Armor bearer to the King. That means we are being trained in the art of warfare. Now, I want you to think about that last point for a second. Because being trained in the art of warfare, think about this. David as shepherd king, David is not the man of blood. He is. As shepherd king, David is being trained in the art of warfare. He's not yet the man of blood that he is going to become. This is the importance of us being like David, the shepherd king. David became a man of blood. We don't have to become men of blood. We'll look at that in just a second. But David, this is what David had to do. As the shepherd king, David just had to carry the implements that the king needed, was required for war. David, as armor bearer, just carried the implements. He carried the king's sword. See, you carry the sword of God. You carry the king's sword when you take the word of God and you use the word of God, the word that you know, the word that is in here, and you feed the sheep that are around you. We are being trained in the art of spiritual warfare under the blood of Jesus Christ. David was a man of blood. We don't have to fight those battles. All we have to do is carry the implements of war. We carry the sword, the word of God, because Jesus has already defeated the enemy. The blood's already been shed. We learn the art of spiritual warfare under the blood of Jesus Christ. This is what it is to be the shepherd king, to be the shepherd king like David. Now let's go back to John chapter 21. Let's look at verses 15 through 17 again. In your Bible, when you look at John 21, 15 through 17, did you notice when we read that? That it said that Jesus said to feed my lambs. He says, feed my lambs in verse number 15. But then in verse number 16 and verse number 17, he refers to them as sheep. It's lambs in 15, sheep in 16 and 17. Well, there's a reason for that. Lambs just simply means young lambs. We'll look at that in a second. But sheep is a term of endearment. It's a term that means my mild and inoffensive believers in Jesus Christ. Mild and inoffensive believers in Jesus Christ. Then in verse number 16, we see that Jesus says he calls them sheep. So it's lambs and it's sheep. Every shepherd has a flock. And in that flock, you have lambs. You have young lambs. In every flock, we are supposed to be winning young converts to the Lord. Every shepherd has a flock with young lambs, and every shepherd has sheep, those established believers who that we are to attend to for their growth and for their support and for their strengthening. Every shepherd has a flock with young lambs and with sheep. Every single one of us is given the task. It doesn't matter who you are, how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. Every single one of us has been given the task to feed sheep. Every single one of us has been given a flock that we are supposed to feed. You might have a few, you might have a lot. If you're young, if you're old, if you have experience, if you have limited experience, it doesn't matter. He has young sheep for you to win, and he has sheep for you to tend to. Sheep that he wants you to grow because you are the shepherd, because you're the one that shepherds them. You're the one that leads them and feeds them. Then the third time that we see it, got ahead of myself. So how is it that we do that? How do we become those shepherds? We're empowered through Jesus Christ. Because remember, Jesus saw Peter as that rock. Jesus saw Peter as the rock even when Peter failed, even when Peter couldn't see himself as that rock. Jesus did. In the same way, Jesus sees you as his shepherd feeding his sheep. His shepherd, successful in him, even when you cannot see it. Now, let's also look at those verses, because if you noticed, in verse number 15, Jesus said to feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. The word feed in the Greek means to feed. It means to pasture. It means to tend to a flock while they're grazing. But it also means this, and this will become significant in a few moments. It means to feed, and it means to be feeding. The implication is that the shepherd himself is also feeding. So we are called in verse number 15 to feed his lambs. Then it says in verse number 16 that we are to tend to his sheep. Tend is very similar. It means to feed. It means to pasture. It means to tend to the flock. But it also means this, and this will be significant in a moment too, although it's significant now. It also means to say that you are to feed with selfish indulgence, to pamper, and to rule. This means that as we feed the sheep, as we feed those who are around us, we should be caring for. This implies we are meeting every one of their needs. Jesus Christ meets every one of our needs. He meets our total care. This is the heart and the attitude that I should have for the sheep that are around me. But it also talks to me, and we'll speak to that in a second. But then the third time that we see Jesus saying this, he goes back to the word feed once again. So we can take these verses, we can, bear with me, we can rewrite these verses so that it reads this way, reflecting everything that we've learned this week, last week, and the week before. So I'm going to read those verses again. This is kind of the Todd Amplified unofficial version. Okay, so read it this way. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me with a faithful love that prefers to live through me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you with a love ready to take action in serving you." He said to him, "Feed, pasture, tend to those grazing on my word, my lambs, my young converts you will win." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me with a faithful love that prefers to live through me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you with a love ready to take action in serving you." He said to him, "Tend, feed, indulge, pamper. Pamper them as you serve them, my sheep, my dear, inoffensive to me believers." You've got shepherds in your life too, so that's talking about you. He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me as a friend ready to take action in service of me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love with a love ready to take action in service to you." Jesus said to him, "Feed, pasture, tend to those living lives growing in me, my sheep, my dear, inoffensive to me believers, my sheep." That's the way those verses read. And in that, you can see how much love Jesus has for us, but you can also see that there's an expectation. As Jesus describes his love, and we get the understanding of the kinds of love that are being talked about, agape love and phileo love. And we also see all that Jesus is teaching us. He's telling us at the end about those loves, the love that we experience and walk in with him, but also how we're supposed to be the one who are the purveyors of that love, that same love to others, as we feed his sheep. Now, it's interesting to me that in both of those definitions we looked at a few minutes ago for the words tend and feed, it's interesting that both of those had a secondary implication. If you look at the word feed, again, we said that feed means to feed, and it means to be fed. That's an indication that the shepherd, you, needs to be feeding as well as feeding others. The shepherd always needs to constantly be fed by the good shepherd, by Jesus Christ. And by the same token, when we look at that word tend, that word also has a secondary implication. And that implication is the same implication, saying that the shepherd needs to be fed. He needs to feed himself. It says, if you remember, that we need to be selfish indulgence and pampering. The more that we indulge ourselves in the word of Jesus Christ, the more that we indulge ourselves by being fed ourselves by the good shepherd, the more that we can pamper and indulge the sheep that are around us. I don't know about you, but I want Jesus to pamper me. I want Jesus to indulge me with his love and with his understanding. But he wants me to indulge the sheep that are around me with that same kind of love. So how is it? How do we then become those shepherds? How is it that we feed the sheep? We have to continue. The more that we are being fed by the good shepherd, the more that we are being fed by the good shepherd, the more we're going to be walking in that authority of Jesus Christ, the shepherd's staff. The more we're going to be walking in praise for him, David's harp. The more we're going to be carrying the implements of war, the sword, his sword. The more we're deep in the Word of God, the more we are being fed and we have all those things, the more shepherding is just going to naturally come out of you and flow out of you. All we have to do is be looking to see, who are the sheep? Jesus, who are the sheep you've placed around me? Because I want to shepherd those sheep. Jesus, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for bringing us continually a deeper and better understanding of your love for us. And thank you for teaching us, for letting us know that you've got an expectation, that you've prepared us, empowered us, and expect us to feed your sheep, because you've got a plan for our lives every day. We are open, our eyes are open, we are looking. Holy Spirit, show us who those sheep are. If it's one or if it's 35, show us who those sheep are. For we want to be shepherds, your shepherds, under you, the good shepherd. Jesus, we love you and we thank you that you entrust this to us. You flow through us to feed your sheep. It's always to your glory and in your name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and praise and worship this morning.